get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the snake pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit, Snake.
Oh, man. Brought to you by
Twin Peaks, Eat, Streak, Scenic Views, and American Leak Detection. Bob,
what'd you think of that Mahler?
Terrible.
Bob's getting really good at drumming. I guess technique is top notch. Yeah.
Never seen more enthusiastic air drumming.
I know. Okay, so we've had the controversy in the WNBA of the Dills being thrown on the court and all that. And that seems like a lot of fun for those involved. But
somewhere they're throwing dildos.
What a weird sentence.
But there is there's a local controversy that reared its ugly head over the weekend that I became a part of, not knowing it at the time. So there are our buddies who own the King's X, where we've done multiple remotes, the legendary dive bar down there on Forest, not too far away from Central. They're good friends of mine. And so one of the owners, Dustin, had a birthday. And on Saturday, I dropped my kid off. He was going to spend the night at a friend's house. And then I went and met a couple of those guys, the King's X owners, at the bar to toast Dustin and say happy birthday.
And you had a hall pass, bro.
It was a very brief hall pass, but yes, it was a hall pass up there at least. And so I go up there to meet him, and they start telling me this story. And one of the owners, Brant, who big Aggie family, I mean, like big time Aggie family, their daughter is headed there maybe today. She's going to be a freshman this year. And Brant is as big an Aggie fan as I know. And
does he love the Yell Leaders?
I'll let him answer that at some point. He can tell you stories about Yell Leaders. So if you've ever had a kid go to college before, you know that right before they go, especially a girl, I would assume. I don't have girls, but the amount of things that are showing up at your doorstep to take down to wherever you're going or up to wherever you're going college-wise to fill out your dorm, like boxes are coming every single day. And you get them, you open them up, you know, and so these boxes are coming for Sweet Brooke, who's going to be a freshman down there. And I think that the way they tell the story, boxes show up, they know they're for her, they open them up, they put them in her room, whatever it is, and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that a box showed up at their house, and it was addressed to Brant, who's the dad. But their son, who is getting ready to be a junior in high school, he just thought it was for his sister. And so he grabs it, opens the box up, pulls out whatever the thing is that's in there, and looks at it, and immediately goes, "Mom!" And the mom comes in, Christy. She goes, "Oh my God, is that a bong?" And he goes, "No, how do you know what a bong looks like?" And he's holding this, Conrad, their son is holding this object. And then she goes, "Oh." And it is a giant dill.
So not a bong.
When we're saying giant.
I think on the box it said 13 inches. Very ornate, too. It looks like... almost looks like the bottle that Genie comes out of in I Dream of Genie. Like it's purple and
throbbing.
Yeah. And
Dave.
So she goes, "Oh my God, what is that? Why are you, you know?" And he goes, "No, it just came in the mail and it was addressed to Dad." And so she goes, "Dad?
You just wait till he gets home."
And so he was home. And she's like, "Brant, get down here." And he comes down and she's holding it now. And he's like, what the hell? And she goes, well, it was addressed to you. He goes, well, I didn't order that. And so they go back and forth. And he's like, I swear I did not order that. And she's like, let me see your Amazon history. And so they're going back and forth seeing whoever ordered it. None of them ordered it. It was nowhere to be seen. So there was like a QR code on it as well. And they, you click on that and you can see where it comes from. But whoever sent it to them clearly covered all their tracks. There's no history of anything as to where this thing came from. It just showed up at their house addressed to him. And again, it's like the John Mateer thing. If he ordered it, he's not going to have it addressed to himself while his daughter is receiving all these things, you know, in droves before she goes to college. It's just too obvious.
Right. So have it delivered to the bar.
You're right. And so they don't know who sent it. And so they're at the bar and he goes to his car and he gets it. And it's in a box, in a like a wine box, a very nice wine box. And so they get it and they show it to me. I laugh my ass off. It's got like a suction cup at the bottom of it that you just jam onto a table. And then everybody's trying to pull it off the table. And it's just comedy ensues. And it's really funny. I go, why do you have this in your car? And he goes, dude, I don't want this in my house. I don't even want it in my own trash can. I'm throwing it away at the bar dumpster.
This sounds like an experience we once had.
Yes, when I bought Bob for Christmas a book called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, he wouldn't even throw the book away in his own trash can. He had to throw it away at like a Staples parking lot.
That's exactly what I did. It's the one, if you want to try to find it, it's just south of 635 on MacArthur, right next to the Target.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
So he goes, well, I'm throwing it away.
Not throwing away a Nazi book. Have you seen that? It's like a giant swastika as the cover.
He goes, I'm throwing it away. I go, well, let's hang on now. Because later on that night, it was the anniversary party, Bob, of our friend Omar and his barbershop.
Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing how this ties in.
And so every year he has a big anniversary party for his barbershop. And I was going down there to celebrate with him. Because every year it's an accomplishment to have a place like that open. And they've done a great job down there. And so I say to Brandt, I go, you don't need to throw that away. That will now be my gift to him for the anniversary to his barbershop. Because, again,
it's in a beautiful wood box.
When you're holding it in the box, you think for sure this is a wonderful bottle of liquor or this is a wonderful bottle of wine. And it weighs about the same, you know? And yeah. So it just looks that way. Nice pink box, too. And so off I go. And I'm laughing internally the whole way, knowing that my buddy Omar is going to open this up at the party at some point.
Hoping that you don't wreck and it spills out into your mouth.
And that's how they find me?
Yeah. You're just through the windshield with a dill in your mouth.
Looks like he actually choked to death. It wasn't the car accident.
Ma'am, we have some bad news. So, anyway.
Boy, the recovery team trying to
there.
Pull cord.
Get the jaws of life.
But they just leave it in my mouth the whole time as they're trying to pry me out. Why did you take that out?
It's an open casket.
Making your cheek bob in and out.
Ma'am, could you identify this body? No, don't worry about that. Just kind of work around it there.
So I did go home because I had some time to kill before I went to Omar's party. And so there, my wife and my son were there. And I told them the whole story.
God, your life sounds like such a sitcom, man.
I told them the whole story. They look at it. They're dying laughing. They're like, oh, my God. And so a couple hours later, off I go. And so I pull up to Omar's place. And his barbershop is right on Greenville and Ross. And there, it's like a little shopping center where there's a bar next to it and a restaurant, and the parking lot's not very big. But as we pull up, and I Uber because he told me there's no parking down there because of the party. And so I Uber, and as we're pulling up, dude, there are people spilling out of that thing. There's so many people in there for this. And as I get out of the Uber and I walk up, I notice, oh my God, there are so many kids here. Because kids go get their haircut at Bonafide, their parents do.
Uncle Omar.
They bring, it's Uncle Omar.
Wells got his haircut there.
There you go. So it's like a family barbershop, but adults go there too. He's got a food truck outside. He's got bars set up inside. I mean, like, it's a huge deal. And I'm like, I'm holding this thing in a box.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, before I walk in, I don't even walk in. And I'm like, if he opens this in front of like his kids,
right,
who are there, his kids, one of them is 13, 14. The other one is way younger, like elementary school, young elementary school. I'm like, what is,
Daddy, what's the deal?
So I'm standing there holding this going, maybe I should just set this outside in somebody's car that I know that's there, and then bad idea on my part.
Yes.
Well, before I can even do that, Omar walks up. And I was like, hey, hey, and I give him a hug, and I'm holding this thing. I was like, this is for you. And he was like, oh, cool, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. And so we walk inside, and he sets it down at his actual chair where he cuts hair. And again, there are so many people there. And then, and he's obviously the patron or the patriarch of the whole place, and people are grabbing him left and right. So he sets it down, and then somebody grabs him and he walks away. And so I walk over to, I see my friends that are there, and I'm like, look, quickly, I got to tell you this story. I tell him the whole story. I go, this is the way it's getting ready to go down. He's got it sitting right over there. He's going to open it at some point. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know if he's going to hit me with it or what, but he's going to open it at some point. And just, I want you guys to be prepared because I'm going to die laughing. And so he's running around going back and forth, and me and my friends are probably 10 feet away from his actual chair, just sitting there at this point talking, waiting for him to go over there. And then Omar walks back over. His wife walks over there and is like, what's that? And I'm like,
even better.
Poking everybody, you know, like, here we go, here we go, here we go.
You should totally find out.
And so we see their little, their interplay together. And I see him like point over to me. He's like, Corby brought it. And so she's like, well, open it.
Oh, Corby's so considerate.
It's so nice. He's one of your best friends. This is just so sweet. And so he pops the top open and he reaches down and he starts to pull the thing out. Well, at this point, the five or six of us were collectively starting to lose it just a little bit because we know as he pulls it, slowly pulls it out, he's going to realize what it is. And he pulls it about halfway out, stops, is staring at it, and then slowly turns his head and looks at our group, and he is giving me the biggest eat-ass look ever. We all drop to the floor. We're laughing so loud. And then he slowly kind of looks around and slowly puts it back in. We're like, it was the most perfect moment ever. Not many people saw what it was. But then we get the after party the next day. He's cleaning up the barbershop.
Yeah.
And no one's in there. It's closed, shut down for the day. And then he had gotten it out and stuck it down on his actual table where his sink is. And the video that that his wife took, that Meredith took, was of him trying to yank the thing off the table. And it, again, the suction cup is so strong that you barely can even pull the thing. You have to, like, put your finger underneath it to give it a little air, and then it'll pop off.
I mean, you don't want it to move when you're using it.
And then he snaps the thing up, and it smacks him in the head, you know. And it's just, so now the bit is that this needs to be, and I told him, I go, you have to do this. At whatever gathering you have to go to next, it is incumbent upon you now to be the gift bearer of this thing.
Yeah, somebody will get a fabulous Secret Santa gift.
As it makes its way around the Metroplex in unsuspecting form. In whatever party it is, you now have to be the bearer.
It seems like I'm pretty interested in how it initially got shipped to your bud.
Well, that's the thing.
Is that a cold case now?
Yes.
We're not worried about it?
I mean, somebody is going to come forward with it.
Like somebody paid for it, so who
yes.
cares? And now it's just out there in society bringing people joy.
Yes, it is. Making people laugh hysterically because let me tell you something. There's nothing funnier than seeing that stupid thing. There's no way that thing has any functionality outside of being a prop. There's no way. It's so crazy and hilarious looking. And it cost a... Dude, that thing had to cost a fortune. It's so outrageously big and ornate. It's crazy. So, yeah, I don't think that they're ever going to give up on who sent it originally to the Inses, but...
Well, if there's any developments, make sure you let us know.
Oh, I will. I will. I will. There'll be follow-up if in fact, we find out.
So it most certainly was a prank, right? Or was it perhaps a clerical error and somebody is angry with customer service because they didn't get their deal because it got shipped to the wrong address?
I mean, his name was on it. Name, address, everything. So I don't know what type of clerical error. The address was correct, they said, all of it. So I don't know. I don't know.
What are we going to do?
It's the great dill mystery. Much better than this WNBA crap. At least this is funny. That's just mean-spirited what they're doing.